Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Again, I want to introduce to you Brother Rene Villa, who is our pastor to our Hispanic mission. The name of our Hispanic mission is Iglesia La Familia Cristiana, the Family Christian Church. And we're glad that he is here. We're glad that they are here with us. We're glad that they have committed their lives to reaching this community and the surrounding area for Jesus Christ. I want to ask that we bow our heads in prayer. And as we do so, Father, I ask that you will anoint your servant from on high. Father, speak through him to challenge each and every one of us to be on mission, whether it is to the Hispanic community, to the Anglo community, to the Asian community. Lord, it matters not. You died to save each and every one of us from sin. Help us, Lord God, to share that message with those all around us. And now we ask that you will open the word to us, Lord God, and speak to our hearts through your servant. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Brother Rene.
I'm so excited to be here because it's a new beginning, and that's what God came to do, right? He came to make things new in our lives. And as I shift from English and Spanish, it's not going to distract anybody. Just focus on the message that God is bringing us through His Word. Amen? Si me estás escuchando ahora, escucha las palabras que dice Jesús en tu vida. Que te respira, que te da nuevo aliento, para que tú vivas un día más. Vamos a orar. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus Christ, because you have anointed all of us, Lord Father, through your Spirit. And your anointing is upon two or three where they're gathered, and I see more than two or three, Father. That's just your promise. I just pray that your word, Lord Father, may be an edification for every single soul here, Lord Father, that we may look up to you and only up to you, that your word would be delivered, Lord Father, through a servant who is humbled and doesn't want no glory for himself, but for you, Father. Just show us your light, show us your message through your word. Think with my mind and think with, just open our lips, Lord Father. Let us speak of your word and truth. Open every single heart, eyes and ears so they can know and discern that you are good. You're so good to us. Tú eres bueno, Señor, y tu misericordia es para siempre. In your righteous name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a story that happened to me when I was young. As I was growing up, there was a lot of challenges I had to meet because of my C average grade levels in high school or even in elementary. And I was just a regular student. But we serve an extraordinary God. And as I was going to school, getting the C average classes and just skimming by, I didn't know how to succeed or excel in class. And I remember one time coming home from work with my pops, working in the fields and stuff, you know, trying to get through school. There was a case where I seen one of my friends that was a sheriff. He was an under-sheriff's son. De regreso del campo, cuando estábamos trabajando con mi jefe, había una patrulla. Era mi amigo, y estábamos hablando con él. And I was talking to him, and I was signing him, and I was sharing with him like my visions and my goals, and how I wanted to become a sheriff, and how I wanted to, you know, to be in the same seat that he's in. Y le estaba diciendo a la patrulla que un día yo iba a ser como él, por fe. Ya era cristiano, ya era creyente. I was already a believer. So I walked in my house and I went in my house and I was still wet from outside working in the fields and I was, you know, I was probably had hurt, I don't know, I was real cold and I remember just going in my bed just the way I was and kicked my shoes off and I went in the bed and I was crying and crying and crying and I just said, God, I remember telling God, just let me become this person. That's all I want. God, I don't care about anything else. Just give me this dream, this vision that I could become someone that I desire to be. Y cuando estaba ahí en la cama y le imploraba al Señor que yo podía ser esa persona que podía reflejar respeto, que podía tener, you know, que alguien podía verme y podía decir, wow, you know, ese es buen respetado. Y no es una patrulla, es un sheriff. And I was praying to God and crying and telling God what I wanted to be. Lo and behold, He had something different for my life. And it is good. And you might be in the same seat. God has something different for you, but it is good. It is really good. And I'm just going to share a little bit of what happened to me as I journeyed through the process of becoming a Christian, a follower of Christ. Y te voy a explicar que aunque tú tengas planes de una cosa, Dios tiene un propósito para tu vida. Aunque tú digas esto y esto, Dios ya tiene el plan preparado. God already has a plan for your life and the purpose for your life. Amen. Si abren conmigo en San Juan, capítulo 21, can you turn with me to John, chapter 21? John chapter 21, verses 15 and 18. Dice así la palabra. This is what the Word of God says. Jesus was with his friends, and Peter, his friend, who he discipled for 3 years. Pedro está con Pedro a su lado y están hablando. They're talking, they're chit-chatting, and Jesus looks over and tells Peter in verse 15 and 18. Listen up and read along if you would. It says this in verse 15. 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, the son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said to Simon, "Son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time. "Do you love me?" he said. "You know all these things. You know that I love you," Peter said. And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'll tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate that the kind of death that Peter would glorify God. Then Jesus said, "Follow me." The commandment was for Peter to feed the sheep. There's times where I go to Mexico with my grandpa and he's feeding his cattle, and he's like, "You got to do it right, son. You got to put in some salvado," they call it some kind of medicine or some kind of minerals and vitamins. You got to put it in there along with some corn, you know, all shredded up. And you got to make sure that they eat it and they're getting well fed. And as I was praying this prayer, I my heart started breaking and my heart started hurting inside. And I couldn't stop my tears from flowing down my cheek. And I was asking God, "What is it you want me to do, God? What is it you want me to do?" He says, "Do you love me?" I said, "Yeah, I love you, God. But what does this mean to me? I'm just a humble servant and I don't know." He said, "I want you to feed my sheep." I said, "Lord," I told him, "Lord, you know what my dreams are. You know what I want to become." He says, "Do you love me?" I said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." He says, "Feed my sheep." And I said, "But Lord, you really know my desires. I want to become a sheriff. You know, you know that I really want to become this person. And maybe you're sitting there, you really wouldn't want to become someone, but God is probably talking to you and saying, 'Do you love me?'" Same question he asked me. Same question he asked Peter. "Me amas?" Pero dijo, "Sí te amo, Señor. Pero de verdad, me amas. Sí te amo." He said, "Tiende a mis ovejas. Tiende a mis ovejas. Dale salvado, dale a comer." And he's telling me this, that I could really feel the burning in my heart to feed the sheep. So I said, "What, Lord, I'm here. I am willing and I'm able. I want to be humble like you are. Just send me then. If it is your will, send me." So with that, I looked straight in the eyes and I said, "I love you, Lord, more than anything else. more than my career, more than my desires. I love you more than anything else in my life. And the same question goes for us. Do we love God more than anything else in this world? Amamos a Dios más que todas las cosas de nuestras vidas, nuestros deseos. And that was my heart. That was my calling. And this is why I'm here. God has made me who I am now and is still making me who I'm going to be in the future. He is not done with me. Dios no está terminado en mi vida y lo que va a hacer en tu vida, en mi vida, no está terminado. Él te puede ayudar en todas las circunstancias que estás ahorita. Él te puede ser tu Dios y tú puedes ser su hijo, lo que va a decir la palabra. God could be with us and He could love us and He could show us His plan and His purpose if we are willing, like Peter was willing. Amen? So the good shepherd, God showed me that He was a good shepherd. The Lord showed me that He was a good shepherd. John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd. And I lead my sheep to green pastures. You know, and I don't know if your imagination of a green pastures is, but green pastures is something rich, something that we could just get out of this world and just go to where God's at and be at His throne or be where He's at. That's His green pastures. And God said that Jesus is a good shepherd. Amen. Hebrews 13:20 says, our Lord Jesus is the great shepherd. He is our Father. He is our Daddy. He is our Abba. And He loves us more than anybody in this world combined. As I was thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it that you want for my life, Lord? He gave me a calling. He says, you're going to be the one that's going to go talk to people about my name. I said, for reals? He said, yeah. You know, and I couldn't imagine it more than being at the edge of a ledge or of a cliff and either letting go of all my desires and falling into His plan that He has for me, or staying there in the cliff and just holding what I need or what I want, knowing that I was going to be in control of my situations and anything could happen. So I said, you know what, I'm really to rely on You, whatever it is. So with that, there is a vision that a prophet had. As he was young, he went into captivity. 5 years, he laid down low. Didn't say anything, didn't really start too much trouble. He's just really calm. His name's Ezekiel. And this prophet had the voice of God. God was talking through this prophet. And if you open the books with me in Ezekiel chapter 37, you'll find out what he's talking to his people and how I could see what God is doing to me through what He did to Ezekiel. So if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 37 and follow along on the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 4. We'll just see what he says, okay? Verses 1 through 34. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And it led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry, very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, You alone know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will become to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with thin skin. And I will put the breath in you, and you will become life. Then you will know that I am your Lord, your God. And guess what He did after that? He did. He did prophesy. And the valley of the bones did get, you know, they gathered the bones and tendons and they did live. That was His vision in the Spirit. Verses 1 through 4, He talks about Him being out of the Spirit. Está fuera de su carnal y está en el Espíritu. Y llega un valle y le dice, ¿ves estos huesos? ¿Pueden vivir estos huesos? Can these bones live? He says, only You know, God. Solamente Tú sabes, Señor. Y digo, diles que le voy a poner mi respiro, mi aire. And I don't know what shape or form or what circumstances you're in, but if God can make bones alive, come to alive, He can make us, that we're already alive, to live with the accordance with our God. to live with our God. There is no problem bigger than God. There is no problem bigger than God. And this place, in Winton, California, the demographics here, what? 10,000 people? And I know all 10,000 people are not going to church because the church is not full with people. They don't have the capacity to hold them. 10,000 people in one church on one Sunday. So I know there's a lot of work to be done. But I know that God could work if we let Him. If we say, God, work in your ways, but I'll be your humble servant and I'll go and do your work because I want to please you and I want to be next to you and I want to know what you have for me to do. El Señor dice, yo quiero usarte. Aquí hay 10,000 personas que no conocen la salvación. ¿Quieres trabajar en la viña? Do you want to work in the vineyard? There's work to be done here. The vision for Ezekiel is slightly different from us because we're in Winton, and at this time he was in Judah. As we read along, it says this. Verse 4 to 6, he starts prophesying. And then in verse 7, here's a miracle. There's a miracle that happens here. So I prophesied, verse 7, as I was commanded, and I was prophesying. There was a noise, rattling noise. And the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked at the tendons. The flesh appeared on them and covered their skin. But there was no breath in them. Then I said to them, prophesy, breath, son of man, and say to it, that this is what the sovereign Lord says. Verse 9 says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breath into this slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me, and the breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. He was willing to say, Lord, there's no breath in them. They're not living yet. He says, go ahead. Talk. Open your mouth. Declare, proclaim, and it will come to pass. And isn't that what Jesus did? ¿Para qué vino Jesús? Para proclamar la salvación para la gente que no conocía al Señor. That's what he came for, and that's what Ezekiel did. He proclaimed. He just said, you know what? Jesus, you told me to say this. And a lot of people get this misconfusion about being a prophet or a prophet is telling somebody, demanding something. It's not demanding anything. As a matter of fact, he is not a magician, nor does he call on God by force. On the contrary, he is under a divine constraint. It is God who invites, summons, and impels him. So the prophet is doing what God wants him to do. And yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's all about God here. It's not about us. And it never was about us. It's about God. For us to come to God. That's what Jesus came for. To mend relationships. To mend brokenhearted. I remember when you enrolled the scrolls in Isaiah 61:1, and he said, you know what? The Spirit of God is upon me. And he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. To bind the brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom to all the captives. El Señor vino para una cosa, para restaurar familias. El Señor vino para darle ánimo a la gente que está desanimada. Amén. Y así viene el Señor, con una trompeta sonando loud. Jesus comes with boldness. I mean, as portrayed in the Gospels, each of them has their own symbolic meaning of how God came. One says he came like a lion, just ministering town by town. Others say he came like an eagle. The others say he came like a cattle, something that's so strong and plows through the field. The Lord came to give life. Amen. Dice así la palabra del Señor. Could you follow me in verse 14? Versículo 14, si tienes la Biblia. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, and I have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. El Señor te pone tu Santo Espíritu. The Lord puts in you this Holy Spirit so you can move on. And you can become that person that God has desired you to be. You can't do it on your own and neither could I. El Señor pone el Santo Espíritu en tu corazón para que tú puedas hacer las cosas que necesitas hacer para Él. For Him and only for Him. Amen? All right. This is what the Word of God says. Verse 21. Could you follow me in verse 21? Drop down to verse 21. No, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21. and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will take Israelites out of the nation where they have gone, and I will gather them from all around, and I will bring them back into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land. On the mountains of Israel there will be one king over all of them, and there will never again be two nations or be divided into two kings or two kingdoms. Verse 23, they will no longer defile themselves with idols and violent images or any other offenses, for I will save them from their sinful backsliding ways, and I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. See, what happens is when God wants to restore something, he doesn't want us to turn back. Amen? He doesn't want us to turn back like a pillar of salt, like what happened in the Old Testament. He wants us to keep on forward, going forward in the things that he's given us. He's given us a precious family. We shall be shepherds to our family, attend our flock, which is our children. We should guide them in the ways of the Lord. God doesn't want us to backslide. He doesn't want us to fall apart from him. He wants us to come and draw us near to him. In any situation, whether you're going through stuff in work or with the family or with anything, I stress on family because I know that in home is probably the hardest place to become a Christian because there's so much pressure from everywhere. Amen? So we got to know what the Lord says. He's going to restore us and he's going to make us new again. Before I go, I have two more verses for you. Could you drop down to verse 26? I'll make a covenant of peace with them and an everlasting covenant. And I will establish them and increase their number. And I will put my sanctuary among them forever. And I will put my sanctuary in them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. And I'll be their God and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord and the Lord of Israel. When my sanctuary is among them forever. God wants to be among us. And he wants to teach us the ways of the Lord. He wants to show us the ways. He wants us to be teachable. He wants us to be teachable. There's a great coach named John Wooden who coached UCLA Bruins, who took them to victories and victories, and he had just a list of things of what to do and what not to do, and he was led by the Spirit of God, and he had 10 titles and awesome man of God. And I remember reading his biography and I found a poem that kind of made sense of why I do things for myself. It says this. They ask me why I teach. They ask me why I teach. I reply, where could I find a more splendid company? There sits a statesman, strong, unbiased, and wise. Another later a Webster, silver tongue. Yet another doctor, whose quickly and steady hand can mend a bone and stem a life's blood flow. A builder sits beside him. Upward rise the arts of the church that he builds, wherein the minister will speak the word of God and lead the stumbling soul to Christ. And all about the lesser gathering, the farmers, the merchants, the teachers, the laborers, men who work and vote and build and plan and pray into a great tomorrow. And I say, I may not see the church or hear the word or eat the foods of their hands will grow, and yet I may. And later I may say, I knew that lad. He was strong or weak or kind or proud or bold. I knew him once, but then he was a boy. They ask me why I teach, and I reply, where could I find a more splendid company? Jesus was in the business of teaching his disciples, and he's teaching us how to live a Christian life. Every time we open up the Word of God, every time we are in prayer, he's teaching us how to be humble, how to be servants, how to be shepherds to our flock. Amen? Yet another fascinating story that I've thought that you might like. It says this. I carry across in my pocket a simple reminder of the fact that I am a Christian wherever I may go. The little cross is not magic, nor is a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from any physical harm. It's not identification for everyone to see. It's simply an understanding between me and my Savior. When I put my hand in my pocket to bring a coin out or a key, the cross is there to remind me of the price he paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings day by day and to strive to serve him better in all that I do. and say. It also reminds me of the peace and comfort I share with all who know my master and give him thanks because he cares. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding me, no one but me, that Jesus Christ, the Lord, is my Savior, and him I owe my life to. El Señor es grande. God is huge, and I know that switching back and forth from Spanish is not 100% effective, but I'll tell you what, my heart is willing to serve. I had a vision not so long ago, and that vision was simple. That vision was that I was walking out of a pulpit or out of a sanctuary, like it's similar to these. And in the future, we'll know if it's these. And I was walking through these doors, and I seen a bunch of a lot of people worshiping God. Just raising their hands up high and praising God. And I had a vision. And I see the people in Winton as I come to church and as I travel around the community, and I see how there's people yet to know God. There's people that don't know God and desire a relationship with God, but they just don't know how to have one. So, as I'm here today, I just want to express to you. I want to express to you that there's a lot of work to be done, and yet we're not even started yet. There's a lot of work to be done in schools. There's a lot of work to be done in homes, in souls. But with Christ on our side, He could breathe in them the breath of life. And I just want us to pray about that. Pray about the servants that are going to go about working. And pray about the souls that are here being restored, being mended through relationships. Amen? Amen. I just want to ask that everybody could stand up now and have Pastor come up. And I just want to pray for the future work here and the future people that are here. And then I'll turn it over to Pastor. Heavenly Father, you know that you're the great teacher. There's nothing, nobody else like you, Father. I just pray, Lord Father, that you can send your Holy Spirit, Father. Open up the windows of heavens and let us feel your Spirit and know that you are with us in every single thing that we do. Lord, thank you for the ministries that are born here and that give fruit for you, Lord Father. I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord Father, because you're the righteous King, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, Adonai, Yahweh, Elohim. You're everything, Father, and we want to acknowledge that. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your love and mercy. Thank you, Jesus. In your righteous and most wonderful name, bless us now. Amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.